friends. We know, even from our ordinary experience of life, that there are many different ways in which we can look at the same thing. There are many different angles from which we can view it, many different points of view. Not only this, but we can also look at one and the same object, one and the same phenomenon, from, as it were, different levels of existence, different levels of experience, even different levels of reality. For instance, we can look at a thing from, say, the standpoint of time, and we can also look at a thing from the standpoint of what we may call eternity, above and beyond or outside, disconnected from time altogether. In the first case, when we see a thing, or when we see things as processes, we see them in terms of space and in terms of time. And in the second case, when we see things as it were in the dimension of eternity, we see them not as processes, we see them as unchanging realities, as we may say, outside space and outside time. Now, when one says unchanging, one doesn't mean that those particular objects, those particular phenomena, remain unchanged, as it were, within the time, within the temporal process. But one means that they are outside time, above and beyond time, in a different dimension altogether. Now, this sort of double standpoint, this sort of seeing things in time and space, and seeing them also at the same time, outside space, seeing them as it were in eternity, under these two different dimensions, in these two different ways, from these two different points of view, this sort of double standpoint is reflected in the central thesis of one of the most important of all the early, in fact medieval, schools of Buddhism, that is to say the Sarvastivada. The Sarvastivada is the principal Hinayana school of India. It was the dominant school in India, so far as the Hinayana was concerned, for well over 1,000 years. And its teachings subsequently were very influential in China, in Japan, in Tibet, and so on. Now, people often wonder what the name or what the term Sarvastivadin means. And it literally means those who teach that all exists. Sarva is all. Dharma, asti means existence. So all things exist, sarvam asti. So Sarvastivada, those who teach that all things exist. Now, what does this mean? What did the Sarvastivadins mean by teaching that all things exist? One might think it was pretty obvious that all things exist. So there must be obviously some more recondite, some more mysterious sense or meaning to their thesis that all things exist. Now, all here, the sarva, all, means all dharmas. And this, of course, at once raises the question of what one means by a dharma. The word dharma is one of the most ambiguous words or terms in the whole of Buddhist literature, the whole of Buddhist thought. When we say dhammang or dharmang saranang gacchami, here it means the teaching, the doctrine of the Buddha. But dharma also means truth. It also means law of the universe or reality. It also means an idea in our minds. It also means cause. And also, in Buddhist philosophy, more technically, a dharma is a sort of ultimate element. And especially it has this meaning in what is called the Abhidharma. The Abhidharma is the more advanced form of Hinayana Buddhist thought. And the Abhidharma analyzes the whole of existence into a number of elements, a number of ultimate elements, irreducible elements, elements which can't be reduced to anything else. So it's a form of what Sarvapariwada Krishnan calls pluralistic realism. He holds that reality is, as it were, plural, that if you analyze and analyze, you can get down to a certain given, definite, limited number of ultimate elements, some mental, some material, which are called dharmas. And the whole of existence, the whole of conditioned existence, according to the Abhidharma, is simply various combinations, various permutations of these irreducible and unchanging dharmas, or ultimate elements. So this is the Abhidharma point of view, and this is what is meant by dharma, a phenomenon in the sense of an ultimate element of existence, whether physical, whether material, or whether mental, or even spiritual. Now, the dharmas are, as it were, in a process of flux, or they make up a process of flux. They come into existence, they remain in existence, they go out of existence. Now, the Sarvastivadins maintained that though dharmas came into existence, remained in existence, and then, as it were, flashed out of existence, the Sarvastivadins maintained that there was all the time something, some element in them which did not change. And they expressed this by saying that in the dharmas there was some element, some substratum, some substance, if you like, which remains the same throughout the three periods of time. It's as though there was a past phase, a present phase, a future phase of that particular phenomenon, that particular dharma, but it was as though at the same time there was a substratum underlying those past, present and future aspects which lasted all the time, which was in a sense eternal. And therefore they gave expression to this insight or this understanding of theirs in the expression sarvam asti, everything exists. In a sense, everything is existing all the time. The past phase, the present phase, the future phase come and go. But underneath that, there is a substratum of each individual thing which is not subject to the temporal process. Now, this is all a bit obscure and a bit scholastic, but this was the central thesis of the Sarvastivadins, and we can perhaps have some understanding of what they were trying to get at. They didn't perhaps express themselves very well. Their whole procedure, their whole scholastic procedure, was often very cumbersome, not to say clumsy, and they did eventually land themselves in a species of what is called substantialism, which in Buddhism is regarded as a sort of heresy. They got into difficulties, and they had to be rescued by the Madhyamikas, another school of Buddhist thought, a Mahayana school of Buddhist thought, who solved the problem with their doctrine of sarva-dharma shunyata, their doctrine that all these dharmas, all these ultimate elements of existence and experience, these were themselves shunyata, void. Or, putting it another way, were in their depth, both unreal and real. Shunyata, after all, is reality, which is beyond time. So to say that the dharmas are essentially shunyata is to say that in their innermost essence they are above and beyond time. So in a way the Madhyamika teaching isn't unlike that of the Sarvastivadins, except that the Madhyamikas perhaps were more skillful in their way of expressing it and more in accordance with the true Buddhist tradition. But both of these, both the Sarvastivadins and the Madhyamikas, they try to do justice to these two ways, these two different ways in which a thing can be looked at. That is to say, that it can be looked at as within time, or functioning within time, as a process within time, and that it can be looked at also as an entity, if you like, a reality existing out of time. That one and the same object can be seen from one point of view as phenomenon, and from another point of view, if you like, as noumenon. But we may say that the Madhyamika had on the whole a much more profound approach, and they eventually identified the two, that the phenomenon is the noumenon, the noumenon is phenomenon, shunyata is rupa, rupa is shunyata, as the Heart Sutra tells us.